Blog Talk Radio.
The scriptures clearly teach is that we, as believers, should know history. God tells us in passages like Romans 15:4 and Isaiah 43. He tells us also in 1 Corinthians 10 and Hebrews 11 and Psalm 73 and 78 and so many other places. He says to recall the former days, to remember the former times. Throughout the scriptures, we see that when a people remembers their history, they behave differently than when they forget their history. We see that even recovering histories, in the case of Josiah and the temple, leads to a national revival. Or in the case of Esther and Mordecai, the use of history by the king one night kept Mordecai from being hanged on the gallows and thus preserved the nation. So history is huge. God is into it. But in America, we don't do a good job of knowing our own history, and we need to. The scripture says that his people perish for lack of knowledge. We've been taught in America for years that what we're about is economics. We formed this nation because of taxation without representation. We need to know our history better. Taxation without representation does appear in the Declaration of Independence, but it's only one out of 27 issues that appear there. There's also religious issues. There's moral issues. There's so many other things than what we just hear today on economics. We need to go back and see that we were founded in this nation. Four clauses of the Declaration say that they didn't want activist judges. Two clauses say they wanted to end slavery. We have clauses over preserving the right to have Bible societies and other religious exercises. So as Christians, we need to know our history. We don't need to just go with what we've been taught. We ought to go back and read the documents. It's one thing to be taught what the Bible says. It's another thing to read it. So I challenge you. Follow up on what God says in the Scriptures. Know our history. Recall the former days. Let's go back and look at some of the patriots we had that were such strong Christians that are leaders that we don't even hear about today. So I challenge you. Do some research. Go to websites. Look at things that will tell you about your faith history as a Christian. It's important you know that so that you know how to behave today.
Welcome, listeners, to City on the Hill. We're so grateful you've tuned in. And as always, we ask that you invite your friends and family throughout the country and really throughout the world to come join us, come and learn with us. And we've got our dear friend, Miss Christina, with us. Miss Christina, how are you?
Good. Fine, Nanny. How are you this morning?
I am fine. I hate to ask you this, Miss Christina, but I'm going to let you share what's in your heart for about 5 or 10 minutes. I have a young lady here with me that is giving us an example of Common Core math, and I'm going to videotape her. So if you don't mind, lead off with prayer and some of the things that's in your heart, and I'll join you in just a few minutes. I'm going to finish recording her and come back on because somebody was telling me we don't need to miss this. It just is so ridiculous, you know, the Common Core. And we actually have somebody here. She's showing us how crazy it is. I wish I could show everybody, but we're going to post it on Facebook. So if you don't mind, Ms. Christina, would you start us off in prayer and just share a little bit about what your concerns are in regard to kids today?
Okay, is Ms. Barbara here?
She's not. It's going to be you and me today, Ms. Christina. Okay. I'll let you start off and just share what's in your heart, and then I'll come right back on, okay? Thanks.
Okay, sweet.
Bye.
All right. Okay. Lord, we're just going to open this in prayer to you, Lord, and we're going to honor and dedicate you today and dedicate this show to you. Lord, we just thank you that as we go forward, that, Lord, you just guide our words and guide all that you would have us to say and do today to minister to all of those out there that are listening. Lord, we're trying to reach each and every person and each and every parent. Lord, let our words reach into their souls, Lord, that they may hear the truth coming forward, Lord, and wake up to the fact that things are very, very wrong in our nation, and especially in our education system with our children, Lord. We lift them up to you, and we ask you for your unmerited favor and your blessings upon all that we are doing, Lord, to stand in the gap and try to protect these children from this horrible evilness of Common Core. So, Lord, we just thank you today as we go forth and share your word that we bring honor and glory to you in all things that we say and do. In your precious name, Yeshua, we thank you and praise you. In Well, today what's in my heart is the burden I have for the church, that the church needs to wake up. We're losing our nation at a very rapid rate. And what's happening is the enemy is deceiving everyone with the media. We've become so accustomed to getting all of our information from the media instead of from God. And when we do that, we wind up learning the world's ways instead of God's ways. And what we need to do is refocus ourselves, return to the Lord, return to His ways, and seek Him first in all things. Because if we continue down this path of this worldly ungodliness that we're on here in the United States, we're very soon not going to have a nation. And that is the burden that is on my heart. Each and every day, I wake up and I think, Lord, what can I do today to help wake people up to what is happening in our nation and how desperately we need to turn back to You and to turn back to our founding principles. Lord, we have so far strayed from the beautiful, amazing Constitution, Bill of Rights that You gave us. Those are our rights. Those are our civil rights. Which leads me to another point, civil rights. You know, we think of the Bill of Rights and all of our rights, but what about our civil rights? Many people don't equate to the Bill of Rights. They go, well, that's old and that's antiquated. But they understand civil rights. And when you look at what's going on in our nation, especially coming out of our government, which has really gone over the edge, it is completely lawless government at this point. They're trying to take away every civil right that we have that was afforded us in the Bill of Rights. So at this point, I'd like to share with you that we do have our civil rights given to us and afforded to us by God in the Bill of Rights. Set forth before man and honored by God. We have the right to free speech. We have the right to freedom, our First Amendment. We have the right to bear arms, our Second Amendment, without infringement of any kind. We have the right to privacy. We have states' rights, the 10th Amendment, the 4th Amendment, the 5th Amendment. We have all of these amendments that are being destroyed and shredded at a rapid rate, faster than we can even blink an eye at them. They mean nothing anymore. They're coming after our privacy. We have smart meters. We have grids. We have everything that can peek into your life. We have the NSA. And we have tyranny in the IRS, where they're singling out people as they did in Russia and as they did in Germany and all these countries that have tyrannical dictators. They seek people out, enemies of the state, they call them. Well, we become enemies of our own country, but just by virtue of living. We have to breathe. That's against the law now because we're putting pollution into the air by virtue of our breath. If you actually break these things down and you listen to them over the course of time, it's utterly ridiculous to listen to these people, and yet we follow like sheep to the slaughter. Each time they come out with something, what do? We clamor, we ask, just like in ancient times when they had the Lord and they had the judges in the Bible, and God, the people screamed out, well, we want kings, we want kings, we don't want You, God, we want kings. Give us Saul, give us Saul. Well, that's what our nation is screaming out today. We want kings. We don't want God. We don't want what God has blessed us and given us. We want Saul. We want those kings. We want those leaders. We're constantly looking to leaders to fix everything, when the reality is the leaders are the ones that got us into this mess in the first place. So why do we continue to look at them to fix it? They can't fix it. They created it. This is the best they can do, and this is the best we can hope for. It is incumbent upon us to become our own representatives, just as our founders did. They could no longer stand to live under the tyranny of England So what did they do? They created a movement. It's no different than the current Tea Party movement, is it? We created a movement. And now we have an even bigger movement of parents all across the nation that are standing against Common Core and the education, the takeover of our education system. I don't know how many out in audience land realized that yesterday the U.S. Senate passed a bill which gives complete authority to Arne Duncan at the Department of Education over any state, all states. It makes Common Core mandatory for all states, not voluntary. As far as I can tell, that usurps the 10th Amendment.
Hi, Miss Christina.
Hello, honey.
I am just mesmerized. I've been listening to you. I've been here for a few minutes, and I just could not. I just wanted to listen.
Oh.
You know, because you put it together, and it's like, we are like sheep being led to the slaughter, because you would think that there would be men with wisdom that would say, no, this is so wrong. You know, like you said, you know, it's for being penalized for breathing. You know,
right.
It's awful. And we used to interview a Dr. Boudreau who now lives in Colorado. And one of the first, and he was a professor from Louisiana, and really he had talked about climate gate, global warming, and all this, and he was a scientist that studied the chemicals, mm-hmm. you know. And he's saying that all this stuff about the greening of the earth, he says, you know, one thing that's false, he says, the earth has no sides. The earth has no size, so that, you know, what they're talking about, the greenhouse effect for the
right.
earth, the whole world, he says, that's false. But yet, you know, if you sell it, you speak enough, loud enough, you have the money to put it out there, you've got the whole world trying to trade money, you know,
right.
for the so-called waste.
Yeah, the
they're paying money
gas.
For, yeah. He was just so down to earth. I mean, it's just. But then he's the one that studied the chemicals. He knows about chemicals, the chemistry. He was
right.
a chemical scientist.
Right. And that's, you know, and that's the thing. If people could just understand, you know, and think logically. We're breathing. We've been breathing for thousands of years. And they're calling that pollution now? I mean,
it makes you really think there's got to be a plan behind this. I mean, we
well,
are, you
okay,
know.
Now that brings me to my point, doesn't it, Diana? The plan is the United Nations agenda for the 21st century, because again, their UNESCO's main mission was to take control of the media, all forms of media, whether it be the radio, TV, movies, cinema, arts, whatever, and to push their propaganda, which is exactly what they're doing. Like you just said, if you say it enough, people will believe it. I went into the health food store the other day, and I was told that I was equal to a toad.
Say
the
that
toad
again?
I was equal to a toad. The toad has
oh.
just as much rights as I do.
Oh.
This is how radical.
You are no longer. That's what happens when people do not believe in God.
Right, right. And these are all these little greenies, you know, that go around and spout this stuff, and they have no idea what they're even talking about. They don't know UNESCO. They don't know the UN. They don't know that this is a purely made-up agenda and media-driven by all the NGOs and the media outlets that are there, all coming out of UNESCO, out of the United Nations. This is a push for Agenda 21. I know people hate to hear it, but unfortunately, that's the facts. And like Pastor Ray said, it's time we get real and we start talking the truth, because this isn't going to get any better unless people wake up, turn back to God, and start realizing that we have a job to do to restore our nation, and they're not doing it.
Well, and I think the media has been complicit. It's been really a tool used by them. And so, you know, when we tell them these things and people do not know it, they think, are you for real? but it's like
history, what does each country do that it turns into a dictatorship? They take the control of the media.
Oh, yeah.
Our media has been not only complicit, they're right in the game.
Well, that's right, because I do remember, I think, you know, who was going into the White House for meeting, you know, and the media.
Yeah, constantly. Well, you know, Soros is a big one with Media Matters. And that Valerie Jarrett, you know, she's always in the background, but she's evil to the core. She's driving the agenda.
And they do not think there's a price to pay, which is very, very sad. But now, it's like you said yesterday, Ms. Christina, when they passed that Senate bill, you were fixing to tell us about that. You know, it's ratcheting it at such a high rate that parents are really, I think I told one today about it, because they were telling me a story that they heard about, you know, a little five-year-old that thought, you know, he needs to be going to the little girl's bathroom. Well, they let him keep on, and then eventually, you know, he got to be older, and in school, they send a note home to the parents that he can no longer go to the girl's bathroom. He's got to go into the boy's bathroom. And these parents sues that school and wins. And I said, you know, she was very upset about that, and rightly so, but then it breaks my heart that I have to tell her that the Senate just passed a bill which is going to mandate that in all the schools.
Mm-hmm.
That Senate bill, that Strengthening America's Act, is going to pretty much, you know, open the door for all sorts of things, transgenderism and all.
What is the one thing in that Senate bill, Senator Al Franken's amendment that was put in and approved to mandate homosexual lectures?
Yeah.
In our mandate. And it was passed by the Senate. Does that tell us that we no longer have representation? It should.
It did not even make the nightly news, did it? I did not hear a whisper. Did you hear a whisper in the news, Ms. Christine? I don't think that is part of a whisper.
Crickets. Nothing but crickets, Diana. Nothing but crickets. And that's all we ever hear from the media. I didn't even hear it on Fox News. That should have been a major deal. But it wasn't. It didn't mention, bare mention. And yet our school system, should it pass the House, our school system is taken over completely. It renders our school boards useless because all edicts will come down from Department of Education, Arnie Duncan. And the grants will be controlled by the Secretary of Treasury. So it really is a bad bill. It's an evil bill. I would tell people to call your representatives. For the good it seems to be doing us lately, but still call them. The House. Call the House, because they have to vote on this. And it would be a travesty if this thing passed and was signed into law. And that's the agenda of this administration. That's why they're doing all this with the Zimmerman case and everything else, is to get everybody ginned up, get their eyes off of what this administration is really doing, and that is destroying the United States of America. And they want complete power and control to turn over our sovereignty to an international body. That's the direction we're going. And America, please, if you don't wake up, we are going to lose our country. And that's the sad reality of what's going on. You know, we have a lot of work to do, and we could do it, which brings me back to my point of the churches. If the
churches...
Go ahead, Diana.
They are so key, Ms. Christina. You're right.
Yeah, they are. You know, God showed us that vision for a reason, because unless the church rises up and finds their voice to wake people up, because they have the ability to reach hundreds and hundreds of people on a single Sunday. Think of it if these pastors across this nation really stood and were courageous and trusted the Lord and had complete faith as Joshua did when he went into Jericho. Think of what we could do. Think of how we could turn this nation around if the body of Christ would just wake up. We are a Judeo-Christian country, and we need to return to those roots.
Oh,
and without the pastors in the churches, I just don't see how that's going to happen.
No, but you know, Ms. Christina, I think somebody was, we were talking today, and we were talking about, you know, the need for courage and
yes.
how that is in the Bible. You know, that she asked me, is that in the Bible? Because I was telling her that, you know, the Bible tells we have to be courageous because,
in
you know, the Revelation.
Joshua, he says it three times, be courageous, courageous, be strong and very courageous. He says it several times just in Joshua.
Well, Ms. Christina, I don't know if you've seen it in Revelation. Have you seen it in Revelation? I can't remember what. I think it's 20 or 22, where it's, you know, it's talking about who can't enter heaven. And I did not realize this until I heard Joni Erickson Tada talk about it. And I can't remember what the circumstances were now, but she, from that point on, I realized how important that was. And now today, Ms. Christina, God is so wise. He does not mince words. When he puts words in that Bible, you know, you better pay attention. It's important. And he talks about that, you know, who can enter heaven. And I was thinking, well, you know, what does that mean? But Ms. Christina, when I think about what you're fixing to unleash, the knowledge to these pastors, it will take courage. And if it doesn't, I can understand why the Bible says you can't enter heaven. Because when you lose the courage to stand, as your letter is going to remind them that they owe that to stand, in essence, Ms. Christina, it's the unkindest act for the shepherd to do to his flock, to not be courageous.
Yes. Yes, he's not listening to his calling. He's getting caught up in the world, and he gradually, slowly, they compromise a little more and compromise a little more until pretty soon they've lost sight of what they're supposed to be doing for God, and they're more worried about the worldly things. You know, they worry about the 501c. That's going to take courage. That's going to take a lot of courage to say, you know what, if I lose it, I lose it. I am not going to be intimidated. I'm going to stand. I'm going to stand and do what God wants me to do. That's number one. Number two, their boards. Number three, their congregations. Well, what if I lose my congregation? Well, what if people leave because I don't have all the feel-me-good stuff and I'm up there telling the truth and nobody wants to hear it? What if I lose my congregation? Well, is it better to lose your congregation or lose your soul? And that's where you're at. There are no other options. And this is hopefully what they will receive and see and read in this letter.
Well, Ms. Christina, let me point to you the chapter. It's chapter 21, and it is starting with verse 5, or I should say it is, okay, a little further, say 7. It says, he who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. This is chapter 21 of Revelation, verse 7. Okay, here's verse 8. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. Now, Miss Christina, all those things are bad, Miss Christina. But you know what was number one in that sentence? It's that word, cowardly.
Cowardly, that's right.
That's it. Now, to me, when God says something first, there's a seriousness in that.
Yes. Yes. He's not just speaking words. They're not just words in a book that's antiquated, that's gone out of, you know, it just doesn't have any meaning anymore. It's old, you know. No, it's not. It's like we were talking the other day, Diane, about the vision, this global leadership summit that they're, you know, doing with all these denominations and bringing everybody together for unity and a new vision for the transformation of the church. I didn't realize God needed a new vision. God's word is eternal. There's no new vision. There's no transformation that the church needs. It needs a transformation back to God is what it needs. But their version of transformation is social justice, which, you know, that doesn't come out of anything from God. So, yeah, there, you know, how many times in the Bible, we could probably Google it, Diane, and find hundreds of times where the Lord said, be courageous, stand firm, trust me, have faith, do not fear. He's not telling us, he's just, you know, because he needs words on a page. They're supposed to mean something. And that's what we're trying with this. Yeah, this project that we're going to undertake here, Operation Jericho, is to hopefully get them to have faith, to trust the Lord.
Well, you know what, Mr. Christina, we have went astray, as you were referring to, as a people in this nation. And I've always thought to myself, you know, when you're ungrateful to God, you forget where the blessings come from. And you forget that you have need of him. And at the very beginning of this nation, you know, I think of the city on a hill, you know, there's a warning there, you know.
Yes.
They were praying because if we don't stick to this, we're going to be forgotten. We're going to become a byword, you know. And it just shows so clearly they were so dependent on God. And what did he do? Every one of the intellectuals in America are blessed because of those prayers being answered. And, you know, you can't really, they are trying to change history, but the facts are that this was really based on men that had a fear of God, and they made godly rules for which is the basis of this nation. But then, what happens when we stray away and become we're God, we have no need of him, right? We're like gods now. We can control everything. Then everything falls apart. Everything is falling apart.
It's all falling apart, isn't it?
It is. I mean, he is the glue. I mean, we were talking about that, you know, laminin. What's the tie? You know, that is the tie that had held this nation. But we've kicked him out. We've kicked Jesus Christ. We don't even allow people to pray in Jesus' name when they begin the business of really politics in their local, you know, meetings, in their
that's
old,
right.
their county meetings, city meetings. You know, that's not welcome anymore. And I'm thinking that's like kicking the tie that will bind you to what is the best. So really,
exactly.
We've been kicking ourselves in a way. I mean, kicking our future down the road, I mean.
Well, you know, remember when George Washington dedicated our nation? And that was actually in New York at Ground Zero. That he dedicated this nation to God. And he said, should this nation ever turn away from God, it will not stand. He said that at the very beginning of our nation, when he was first inaugurated as the first president of the United States and dedicated this nation.
Are you talking about that little cathedral, that little church?
St. Paul's Chapel. there at Ground Zero that was protected by the sycamore tree. I mean, we can go through all of that as well, but,
it's in our website, Miss Christina. I had a chance to go there after, I can't remember what year I got to go, but I took pictures of the inside. They still had their signs up there, wake-up call, from 9/11, and but one of the things that was really impressive is I heard a story, because, it's very close. It's right there, 30 feet away from the rubble, and there was a recording of a police officer that was wanting to use the bathroom, and he walks in there to this building, and he's looking around, and, you see that, everything's covered in, ashes or whatever, but not a broken window.
Yeah.
Not one. And he said, this place has divine protection. He was just in awe. This building, nothing, no window broken in that building, 30 feet away.
Yep, the sycamore tree took the brunt of it. But then you go back to the Isaiah 9:10 where he talks about, taking down, I will destroy, bring down the sycamore tree. I forget exactly how it reads, but, that's judgment. That was the judgment of Israel. And that was their defiance to God. And sadly, after 9/11, we did the same thing. We spoke that judgment on our nation. Isaiah 9:10. We're following exactly ancient Israel's pattern and history. We are out of Israel. We are a nation that has come out of Israel.
Mm.
So
wow.
When we say, we're to honor Israel and bless those that bless Israel will be blessed and those that curse Israel will be cursed, it's because we are out of Israel. God gave us this land. And we came out of Ephraim. Ephraim is England and its holdings. Ephraim and Manasseh were Joseph's sons that Jacob put the blessings on. Ephraim would be many great nations. Manasseh would be one great nation. That's America. But it also prophesies that Manasseh, America, has to diminish in power. And it will diminish in power because it will go the way of Israel with its idolatry and turning its back on God. This is what this nation is doing and has done. And man has done this. But the pastors, had the pastors stood like the pastors did during the founding of our nation, they were so instrumental in the Revolutionary War. They were so instrumental in the founding of our nation. Because people had a solid foundation then. Our pastors have fallen short of the glory of God and not done their jobs in this country. They've gone by the way of the world. And they are the ones that need to repent, get on their knees, and get back to God's business. And we pray that they do. We have a big mission and a big job to do. We've got children to save. And it's incumbent upon these pastors to stand for these children. These are God's children. And they're silent. They're just silent. The voice of the believers, the body of Christ, is silent. Abortion.
Hopefully, Miss Christina, I hope that after they read the letter that's going to go out to pastors. And Ms. Christina, if there's anybody here that has been listening to us in the past and would like to contact you about this letter, what would you like to tell them?
I would say the best thing to do would be to, they could send an email, I guess, to contact us at natcure.org. Send a contact request. We have a space on there to contact us. And if anyone out there does have a pastor that they would like to see if that pastor will stand in the gap and be courageous. We're more than happy to reach out to that pastor and bring him into Operation Jericho. We're looking for all of them, as many as will stand. That's what the Lord told me. You work with as many as will, and woe to those that don't. And those aren't my words, Diana, as you know. Those are God's words. Just like he backed it up with scripture from Ezekiel 34, where he said, woe to those spiritual leaders that feed themselves, but do not feed my sheep. And he goes on in there to explain the judgment that's going to come on those pastors. You know, you and I prayed last night, Diana, for them. Because we know that there will be those that reject this calling from God. But he wasn't kidding when he said, woe to those that harden their hearts against my plea. This is God calling out to the pastors and the leaders of these churches to wake up and feed the sheep, to speak the truth, to speak God's word. And that's their calling. That's their job. And we're going to do all we can, Diana, with God's help, to accomplish this.
Wow. Well, you know, such an opportunity to make a difference, Miss Christina, and because, you know, it really breaks my heart to think that a child has to sit through what's fixing to come because they have solidified their hold on this education system. I mean, for the Senate to pass that, and now it might become law because, you know, the word is they've got to reauthorize this Elementary Secondary Education Act. But the point we want to make is, no, you don't. You don't reauthorize when all that's given to you on a plate are really filth. I mean, you know, if they give you all sorts of food that looks so pretty, cakes or whatever, but the inside's nothing but sand and dirt,
right.
You don't want to eat it, and that's it. Charlotte
Diana. Was it Sandra Strotsky that talked about, you know, when people come back with the money factor, that, well, we've spent so much money now, we can't stop. Well, like you said, do you continue to give your kid poison? Well, how did she put that? Wasn't it her?
She said, no matter how expensive your poison supply is, no, you stop giving them the poison. So,
it's still poison. Yeah, it's still poison. So why would you continue to feed the poison? And if you find something that's wrong, we've got to renew this. No, you don't got to do anything.
You should actually
turn the education to the states. Federal government has no business in education. It was never intended that way. Our founders intended for the Bible to be taught in school.
And we have really made that an abomination. We've turned it around where the Bible's not welcome in school. Oh, my goodness.
The Bible isn't, but the Quran is, isn't it? Allah is, but God isn't.
And he is, oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
And he's the one that blessed us. He is the one that's blessed us in this nation.
Yeah. But we're allowing
the... We are ungrateful lot, Miss Christina. It just really sounds like we have been such an ungrateful, you know, the leadership, the one that is running this country right now is very ungrateful to the God that gave us all this blessing.
How does that saying go? Power corrupts in absolute. Power corrupts absolutely.
Exactly.
They get a little power and it goes to their head. You can see it even on a city council level, let alone at a federal level.
Donna's always told me, it's funny because Don has always told me, Diana, you know, we really want to be putting good people in the local school boards.
Mm-hmm.
And now you just see the wisdom in that, Miss Christina, because now the local school board is really where the fight is. I mean, if the local school board goes, as Miss Charlotte Isabey has told us, then local control goes. Everything goes.
That was the point of the Senate bill. That removes some local control. Because all the edicts will be coming down from the federal, from the Department of Education. And if they don't comply, the Secretary of Treasury is standing in the wings to stop their funds. So you will do as I say or else. And that's basically what the government just did with that Senate bill.
And Ms. Christina, I know you know, from California, you've seen an awful lot of that already. And I know it breaks your heart when you see that, you know, I know if I had lived there and seen that at least other parts of the country does not have to suffer as you all do, but now when you're seeing that the same thing is going to be, it's like darkness is going to cover the land and no light shining through. I mean, how it's almost to the point where you don't, how can you breathe?
It's against the law.
Yeah,
to breathe in California.
Oh, yeah, that's against the law, in California.
We have every failed policy known to man here. Everything that they want to, as a matter of fact, they're passing a bill through our legislature right now that will create regionalism. And regionalism is the next step in the United Nations control, and California's only too happy to comply, to eliminate the autonomy of cities, city councils. It renders them irrelevant. If this bill, it's already passed through the Senate, so we'll have to see what happens in the Assembly. And if it does pass, see, we don't forget, we have a completely democratically controlled state and the unions as well. We have a democratic governor, we have a democratic Senate, and we have a democratic Assembly. So the Republicans actually could just go home for all the power and influence that they have in our state. But if this passes, then they will now create regionalism. Regionalism is part of Agenda 21. So it's all, you know, it's all by design, everything that's happening. And they take these blue states like California that are only too happy to, you know, comply with all of this radicalism. And then next thing you know, it spreads across the nation. We're like the Petri dish. We're the one that they, you know, test everything on. And sadly, people are leaving California in droves because of it. You can't even function in it anymore.
Well, Ms. Christina, it reminds me of, you know, the Lou Gerstner interview. Have you seen that already, Ms. Christina? Have I sent that to you?
I think so. I think you did.
It's where he says we want to get rid of the 16,000
districts. Yeah, eliminate all of the Wall Street Journal articles. Yeah, get rid of all of the school districts, and we'll only create like maybe 70. He equates it to a corporation. You know, a corporation would not have all of these 16,000 little micro things they have to manage. They bring it in and shrink it down to a manageable force. Well, that's what. So if you take 16,000, bring it down to 70. That means you have 70 regional control centers that operate all of the school systems. And that's what they're pushing for, as we well know, because they want complete and total control, which is going to make it very difficult for private schools, Christian schools, homeschoolers. But I think, and I feel very strongly, that if the body of Christ would wake up, if the pastors would wake up and do their job, that we could actually turn this around. And we may not be able to save the public education system because it's so far gone into corruption. But we could certainly create alternatives for parents so that they can get their kids out of the public education system. And if God were here standing before us today, I believe he would say, get your children out of the public education system now. It's sending your child every day off to a pagan culture. It is anti-God.
I think you're right, Christina. I think you would too. And to me, you know, it's just so sad to me, even the people that are coming here, the illegal immigrants, mm-hmm. hoping that they're coming to the land of the free and the, you know, the land of opportunity. What they don't understand is they're trading one in slavery for another, because sooner or later they're also going to see this decay make mm-hmm. this nation crumble.
And the, you know, the sad part about the immigrants, the, you know, especially the Hispanics that come over from Mexico, you know, most of them aren't educated. They don't know. All they know is they want a better life. They come here, and granted, a lot of them are illegal, and I can't not deal with that. If you come here illegally, you have broken our laws, and you should be dealt with accordingly. If you come here legally, come here and assimilate. Come and assimilate into our country. Come here because you want to be an American, not because you want to come here and turn America into Mexico or whatever other country. But now we have so many that come in that are used to being enslaved. They're used to a socialistic type of government. So, and of course they get, you know, grabbed up by the liberals right away as a voting bloc because of their ignorance. They're easily led. And this is part of the problem. And I feel bad for them. I feel bad that they're so deceived, because they have a foundation in God. Most of them that come here have a foundation in God, especially from Mexico. Most of them are Catholic. They have a foundation in God. And yet they navigate over to the anti-God side, the liberal side, because they get the give-me's. The give-me's, and they think this is what is, oh, look at America, they're giving me all this stuff. They don't realize, as you just said, Diana, it's all coming crumbling down. And if they thought Mexico was bad, wait till they see what happens here, because we cannot sustain what we're doing.
So and too, Ms. Christina, I think about the soul price. You know, there, mm-hmm. you know, there's a lot of bad things and bad to the end. I do not know that they have an education system that's going to force their children and lead them to sin, to make sin normal, to make sin the way of life.
Right.
But yet, that's what's fixing to happen. So as bad as Mexico was, I don't know that they have that.
I don't think they do, because they have a great, great Catholic influence. So, you know, they're very religious people. If they knew the half, I have people that come in and clean my house, and I talk to you, you know, we have conversations all the time. They have no idea what's going on in the school. None. When I tell them about Common Core and what's going to happen to their children, they go, oh, that's terrible. But do you think anyone is telling them the truth? No, they're purposely deceived. Because the liberals, all they want is their vote. They don't care about those people.
Oh, yeah.
If reality, yeah. If the truth were known, and I hesitate to say this, I'm not even going to say Republicans anymore. I'm going to say the conservatives. They're actually more in line with our agenda than they are the liberal agenda. But they don't know enough to know that. And we can never seem to get through to them because of the language barrier. So
their leadership, Ms. Christina, is like they're being manhandled too. I think about today. I spoke to somebody who tried to share with her city council, with her this and that about Common Core, but you know the excuse was because of their position, they really can't say anything. They can't make a stand. And I'm thinking, isn't that why you were elected? Is to make a stand on what's right versus what's wrong? I almost feel like I'm living in an insane world where the people that are supposed to be making stands, I guess what they're admitting to is they're there for the money. Is that it, Ms. Christina? I'm here for the vote. Whatever gets the most votes, that's what I'm speak on.
Exactly, and I'm going along to get along because I want to get reelected. I want to keep my position. You know, I have a council person that I speak to, and she always says, well, you know, I can't make too many waves. I can't say too much. Well, my God, if I was there, let me tell you something. I'd be saying a whole lot. They certainly wouldn't like me. I'm not there to be popular. I'm there to get a job done.
Well, see, that's just it, Miss Christina. That's not their calling.
No.
You know. And I think that's why God said, choose you men that fear God to be leaders over you. And we have so missed out on that edict, on that command, that we don't know what's right or wrong anymore because we have been led down the wrong road.
Well, we constantly compromise. You know, we say, well, but I've got to vote for this person. You know, they're the lesser of the two evils. Well, evil is still evil. I don't care if it's less or more. So if that's the way you think to vote, well, we got to keep the seat. What are you keeping the seat for if the seat is taking our nation down the toilet and is an anti-God person? What kind of godly counsel do you think you're going to get? Nothing. So if America, people, stop looking to your representatives. Most of them are politicians for a reason. They say they're good at talking, they're good at everything. Why? Because they say what you want to hear. Doesn't mean they're going to do it, and look at them. Do any of them do what they say they're going to do? No, instead they destroy our nation. The Senate, the entire Senate voted to put this bill through that has mandates homosexuality lectures in classrooms now. We literally, who was it yesterday? Not Pastor Ray, but the gentleman that had the
Chaplain Kleiner Smith.
No, the gentleman that had the prison addiction ministry yesterday that was on the show.
Is it Joe Hahn that was on with Pastor John McCormick?
Yes.
Okay. No.
And he said he made a comment. I can't repeat exactly how he said it. It was so perfect the way he said it that. The new norm, or we're following this new norm of the world. You know, I forget how he said that. Do you remember when he was, in other words, it was all twisted around?
Uh-huh. I can't remember, but, you know, we've got it on recording.
Yeah, we have it on a recording. No, but he was spot on with the way he said it. It's just basically, you know, what's up is down and what's down is up. What was normally right is now wrong, and what was wrong is now right and lauded as wonderful and great. We have completely flipped ourselves upside down, and we are a godless nation at the present time. Do you think God's looking down on our nation and going, you know, good job, my good and faithful servants? I think God is grieving. If we're grieving like we are in our spirits for our nation and what's going on and our children, what do we think God is feeling?
Oh, indeed, Miss Christina. I hate, you know, wasn't there a sermon, Sinners in the Hand of an Angry God? I would think, you know, it's just... Well, I can't think. I cannot imagine how God feels because I know I am overwrought, and our God is a more loving God than I am, and so I just can't imagine how he feels.
Oh.
But he's the God of mercy.
And we're heading.
Thinking we should be gone by now.
Yeah, we're heading down a really bad path, and people are so deceived. You know, part of this Common Core agenda, as we've talked so many times, Diana, is pushing people into privatization. And they're not going to just say, okay, we're just going to privatize the schools. No, they're going to do it like they do everything else. Make it think you want to call it the Delphi technique. Make it think that you had the input and it was your idea. When, in fact, it was already preordained that this is what was going to happen. This is one of the reasons the teachers' unions are fighting so hard against Common Core, not because they care about the children. I mean, granted, we do have teachers out there that really do care. We have good teachers. But we have the unions that have destroyed that as well. But the unions don't care. All they care is about the corporations, because the way UNESCO and all them have it set up is the corporations, the people, Common Core will fail in the public school system People will scream for privatization and vouchers and all these other things, and the corporations are none too happy to step in, take over, and there you have your Soviet polytech workforce system that came out of the Soviet Union. It takes us back again to Gorbachev and Reagan and all those people, long before that, to Carnegie in the 30s. This has all been preordained, but they make people think it's your idea. And when privatization, when they talk about that, they talk about charter schools. Oh, boy, charter schools. See, we'll have these private schools. We'll have more input. We'll have this. We'll have that. You're not going to have any input in a charter school because they're unelected boards. You're not even going to know who's running the charter school, that your charter school, what system they're in. So you want to talk about a complete annihilation of parental rights. There it is. Once that charter system takes control, that's it for the education system. There will be no more parental rights, and they will have your child from birth to the rest of their life. And they will be nothing but human resources, not children. Mm-hmm. And that's the reality. So what would God want? Is that what God would want for the children? Or would God want a truly godly foundation and a basis, a godly home, a godly education, godly history? Which would God choose? And that was, you know, one of the things we wrote in the first letter to the pastors. You know, our children.
As somebody, Miss Christina, you are the only one I know of that has battled the United Nations and won.
Well,
and I don't, you know, I really say that with awe because nobody I know of has ever fought the United Nations and really won. We're trying to prevent laws in our states that will do that. But in your case in California, they already had this law, and it was the smart meters, and you fought it. And
yes,
you won, but you had to learn what the United Nations was all about. You had to really, you had to study your enemy, and that's what we've got to do. We have got to study our enemy. We're not doing that. We're thinking our enemies are friends.
Right.
Our legislators, like they're our friends.
We're and not our
again,
friends.
You know, we can't do that anymore because the children's at stake. We
That's
can't
right.
play the game anymore.
We don't have time to play the game. You know, as Pastor Ray said yesterday, we're at the end. You know, we are at the end. We don't have time to play a game anymore. We don't have time for political correctness. We don't have time to be nice. You know, I don't want to offend you. I'm sorry. I'm sorry if I'm offending you. But you need to know the truth. And if the truth offends you, I apologize. But I'm not going to quit speaking the truth because you're offended. Because
I know there's a lot trying to find answers out there, Ms. Christina. Go ahead.
Pardon me?
I said there's
sorry,
a lot. You know, we see on Facebook a lot are trying to find answers out
yes.
there. And sometimes they don't like what the truth is. No,
yes.
they can't be. We got to go this way. But unfortunately, you know, we're so sick of it ourselves, but we know the truth. It's staring us in the face, and we hate to say what you've got to do, but really, you can't waste, you know, words.
No, I don't know what else to say to
that.
People anymore, Diana, but the truth. I mean, I don't know what to say. God has put such a burden in my heart and in my spirit that I open my mouth, and people probably put up the garlic, you know, oh, God, here she comes again.
and you do what I love, Miss Christina, and that's what they've got to realize is, you know, if they love their children, they're going to want to find out every ounce of truth because they're hard to find. The enemy doesn't want to know the truth. Well, Miss Christina, let me, if you don't mind, before we lose the audience, would you mind praying? I'll pray. You started off. I'll pray, and then we'll talk a little bit more, but I want to pray over those that are listening. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for, Lord, your goodness, your mercy. And, Lord, you are the God of the impossible. You made heaven and earth. You made us out of nothing. You made us pretty much out of dirt, Lord, out of dust. And Heavenly Father, we thank you that you've given us, you breathed into us life. And we are like you and that we love, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that the love of parents and the grandparents would make them search for the truth about Common Core, about the national education, about the Strengthening America's Education Act that's now passed the Senate with the Al Franken Amendment to make teachers lecture kids, innocent children, about homosexuality, to teach it to them. We pray that many parents' hearts will be burdened, that they'll come and bend their knees and bow their head and ask you for help, and that you will be so good to give them the knowledge that they need to save their children, their families. And I pray for Ms. Christina, Lord, that this letter, Lord, that's going to go out to pastors, that many will ask for it, they'll go across the land, and that many children will be saved, Lord. Oh, we love you. We thank you for this opportunity, Lord. We pray for blessings for all those that are fighting against this national standards, against the socialism that's trending, Lord, against the, Lord, the indoctrination that's going to be promoted, Lord. And we speak against the planners, Lord. We pray that they will see that they, too, will have to bend their knees and bow their head. And, Lord, as try as they might to wish that there is no God, you are here. You are present. You are the Alpha and the Omega. And I pray that they'd come to know that you love them too, Lord, that they would just trust in you enough to seek you. Because you said, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and the door will be open. So I pray that they who do not know you will knock. And because we know you will open that door, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We ask that you put a hedge of protection upon all of us that's fighting in the fight, Lord. And we ask for godly leaders that you would also protect their minds and help them to stand strong for you, Lord. Because, Lord, with you all things are possible. And we believe. We thank you, Lord. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Ms. Christina, I'm just, you know, I'm just really this. It's like a whirlwind, this Christina. I was talking to my friend that she was saying, you know, you've been telling us this for years. You've been warning us this for years.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, you know, because we know you, we believed you. But it's just so shocking at how fast it is now, and there's so many people that doesn't have a clue.
Yes, and we're going to do what we can, Diana, while, you know, the time we have left to, you know, get our message out and get it to as many people as possible and wake as many souls up as possible, you know, that they would turn back to God and bring others along with them, and then they could tell the truth. And somebody would believe them because they knew them. So we just need to get, we need to wake up the church, the body of Christ. And I think that God is calling them. This is their calling, their final calling. It's like the final bell's going off. Hello, get on board, all aboard. And that's what we're trying to do. We're the messengers, Diana. Diana?
Do you think, Ms. Christina, that one day you'll be able to read that letter to the audience and so that they'll know what they'll be needing to ask you for a copy of and can share?
Yes, and you know what, Diana, I thought of it too. They could also just contact cityonahill.tv and request a contact, and we'll get right to them.
Okay.
Because,
So
they can
them to go to the website too, right, Ms. Christina, the CURE website?
Correct. That would be www.natcure.org. If you want to contact, just click contact us and ask, send an email to Christina Mikus, and I'll get to you right away. City on the Hill, the same thing. Contact cityonthehill.tv.
Yeah. Well, we are just, I mean, Ms. Christina, I just really can't believe how fast. I'm just really in a whirlwind. And, you know, it maybe it's a good thing it's happening so fast because...
Yeah, we don't have a lot of time.
But at the same time, Ms. Christina, it's funny because we didn't know 2 weeks ago or a month ago when God laid this in your heart that to write that letter that the Senate would pass this bill.
No, we didn't.
We had no idea.
You know, when God first
confirmed everything
on my heart, Diane, as you said, I didn't realize. I mean, I did a bit then, we did, but nothing to the magnitude of what God has shown us today. Just since we wrote the very first one, when I wrote the first one, and now we've got this other one that is going to go with that. Look at all the things that have happened that show us each and every day more and more and more how important this project is, Operation Jericho. It is so important, and every day we see more and more, just like that Senate bill. Every day we see one more thing of the reason why the church has to wake up. Because without that body of Christ, you know, that was a big factor in our last election. The believers didn't even vote. So,
oh my goodness.
Yeah, that's
a
big
child. The child is now the price of the enemy. The child is
right.
And we're talking about souls, people. We're talking about souls. You know, you love your children. And I you know, I just really cringe when I hear these members, leadership, people who voted for, say that, you know, I've not studied this, and also that they can't make a stand. And I'm thinking that person don't need to hold a place of trust. If he can't even protect our children, Miss Christina, what good is he?
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, we really we'll be doing a lot. And we'll be embarking on this mission, and we're so blessed to have a couple pastors that have already joined us. And I think it's going to really spread far and wide, because if you read these letters, I don't see how you could stand there and turn your back on God and say no. So we'll see what happens, Diana, but I really think that God has put this before us for a reason, a very powerful reason, and we're going to see some mighty things happening. You know, while all this darkness is swirling around us, we have to remember it's a spiritual battle, and it's being fought in the spirit realm, but you're going to see God doing just some amazing things while the evil is swirling all around. Because he's got his own plan, and ultimately he's the winner. So whatever shots they want to take at us, go ahead. But you're not going to touch our kids.
Well, and God is able.
God is able, and he is more than capable of snuffing out all of those. So, you know, they can devise their evil deeds, but God has other plans, and that's why he's called us into service to do what we're doing, because he has his own plan. And that's
thank
the plan
you,
we're going to follow.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that, because, again, it's a reminder, you know, who holds us in the palm of his hand. He
correct.
Is able to do what, you know, we have need of, and he loves us so much, and it's just like Miss Christina, he had already prepared your heart because he loves us. He is making a way. So we just need to listen. So
yes,
I pray that the pastors will listen.
Sometimes we, you know, we get a little hard of hearing, you know, and like I told you over the 4th of July weekend, he really, you know, slapped me around a little bit and said, okay, wake up. I'm trying to reach you. And so he certainly got through with the message. Yes, he certainly got through with the message. I had a little bit of conviction going on there. So now I know, you know, that that was not just for one pastor, that was for many pastors.
Wow. I mean, it's, but you know, that's only God in it. When he does it, he does it big.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, it often doesn't make sense to us, but again, like I keep going back to Joshua where he gave that to me. It didn't make sense to Joshua either to walk around those walls 7 days. He knew battle. He knew the world's way. But God says, no, you're going to fight this my way. Well, that's what he's saying to us. We know the world's way, but he wants us to fight it his way. It may not always make sense, but it doesn't have to make sense to us. We just have to be obedient trust Him, be faithful, and do it.
Mm. Amen to that. Well, thank you, Ms. Christina. I love you, and I thank you for standing in the gap for all of us and just being the word of wisdom so close to God that, you know, you move when He tells you. So.
Oh, yeah. I'm learning.
We got to move when He tells us. So, okay. Well, thank
love
you, Ms. Christina. And I hopefully tomorrow you'll join us again. I know you're going to be real busy. I'm guessing Dawn will be on with us tomorrow. And we'll
okay.
see what else is up the sleeve tomorrow.
Well, we'll leave it up to the Holy Spirit.
Okay. Well, thank you, Ms.
Okay.
Christina. Well, listen,
you're welcome.
We love you. We
love you too, honey.
For this nation. Thank you, Ms.
Yes.
Christina. And we hope that you'll join us again on City on the Hill and come learn with us. Goodbye.